In 1965, University of Wisconsin students and researchers set out in word wagons to record the ways Americans spoke in different parts of the country.
Now, nearly 50 years later, they're tracing how language use has changed, substituting computers and online survey methods for those original wagons, all to update the Dictionary of American Regional English.
With us now is Joan Houston Hall. She's chief editor of the Dictionary of American Regional English and senior scientist of English at the University of Wisconsin-Madison. She's an expert on American English and all those regional and social variations. Joan, welcome to the show.
Well, thank you very much.
Well, let's start. About 50 years ago, we saw a photo of a couple of the original researchers standing next to the camper, the word wagon, collecting, like, documenting the way we talk. What did that tell us about American English and how it varied around the country?
Well, those field workers in their word wagons went to 1,002 communities across the country and asked people who had lived there all their lives to answer thousands of questions in a huge questionnaire. And what we discovered is that there were many, many regional patterns about the way people use words. Some showed that Wisconsinites use words that aren't heard elsewhere, and that's what we're trying to discover this time, whether those words are still characteristic of this area or whether they've changed.
So you said some words were characteristic of Wisconsin. What were the words that you were looking at 50 years ago?
Oh, we looked at words dealing with all parts of our lives, from time to weather to food, clothing, animals, farming, religion, health, disease, all sorts of things. And within all those categories, there were many different patterns. So for Wisconsin, words like flowage, for instance, we found to be characteristic only of Wisconsin. Now, if we do this new survey nationwide, we'll be really interested to see whether people in other parts of the U.S. have adopted that term.
Now, the bad news here is you're not gearing up for a big road trip. You're not going out in the word wagons this time around.
That's right. That was very expensive and very time-consuming. So this time, we're doing an online survey. We're working with the University of Wisconsin Survey Center, and we have put up the survey, which is available for Wisconsin residents to go to and answer questions as they like.
So is it up there right now, ready to go?
It is indeed. And you can get there easily just by going to the DARE site, which is www.dare.wisc.edu. And there is a button on the left side that says Online Wisconsin Survey.
It's fascinating stuff. So do you expect much to have changed? I imagine 50 years is a long time of language evolution.
It is a long time, and it's a very good question. One popular notion is that because we're a very mobile population and because we listen to many of the same media, our English has become, quote, homogenized. Mm-hmm. That's a popular notion, but I don't think it's true. Language changes, yes, of course, but it doesn't change at the same rates or in the same ways in all places. So what we're hoping to find is how homogenized our language has become. And I am quite convinced that we will still find many, many differences from one place in the country to another.
And it's not necessarily just a matter of did this regional word or phrase survive, but I would think that different regions are still inventing and coming up with new words that maybe start in one state or part of a state.
Yes, that's always true. We invent words as we need them. And many people think that commercial terms will take over for local food items, say. But if there's no reason to adopt a nationwide term, we're perfectly happy to hold on to the things that have been important to us all our lives.
Now, we have a lot of Wisconsin words. Bubbler is one that we associate with Wisconsin, at least southeastern Wisconsin for sure. And it seems as though those are still kicking around. Just anecdotally, are you seeing changes as you talk to people in the state and as you travel?
Well, bubbler is, of course, one that is very dear to the hearts of Wisconsinites. And certainly it's true that if you look at the United States, this is the heart of bubbler country. But it's not the only place where people use the term. There are places in Massachusetts and Rhode Island and in Portland, Oregon, where people talk about bubblers. But here it's especially strong and probably goes back to the Kohler Company in the early part of the 20th century when they marketed in the part of the country that now uses the term bubbler.
You're seeing, or you're in the midst of this internet survey, are you looking at results as they come in, or are you going to wait until you're all done and then start crunching the words?
We've looked just casually at the results, but we won't do any real analysis until we're done.
Off the top of your head, though, any fun stuff coming in or surprising or, you know, words that stuck around that we might not have expected to?
Well, I can't go that far yet.
Oh, okay.
What are some favorites from the past? Do you remember? I see you've got a list of words in front of you there.
Yeah, there are lots of food items that are very Wisconsin, mm-hmm. or maybe Wisconsin, Michigan, and Minnesota. And that's natural, of course, because many of them reflect our ethnic heritage. So words like booyah, for instance, is very Wisconsin, and it's restricted within the state. Mm-hmm. To the area around, say, Appleton and east of there in small communities along the lake. Things like German potato salad, for instance, which people think is totally logical, is not something that is recognized elsewhere. And foreign terms like kolachki and kringle and krumkaka and lefse and punchki and lutefisk, of course. But even things like squeaky cheese. I had never heard of squeaky cheese, and I didn't know what cheese curds were. And although those have spread some in the last decades, I'm sure that they are still relatively regional. But in addition to food words, there are lots of others. The tradition of the golden birthday, for instance, is very Wisconsin.
Really? I don't think I'd ever heard of it before I moved here. So that makes sense. That hadn't occurred to me. That was a Wisconsin thing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And the supper club tradition, mm-hmm. of course, is very Wisconsin. Terms like trunk roads, take County Trunk M. Hmm. That's a local term. And one of my favorites is the term winter potato. Do you know a winter potato?
Mm-mm. No.
A winter potato is a rounded rock that comes to the surface of a farmer's field in the winter as the ground thaws and freezes.
A winter potato. I like that.
So when you get your field ready in the spring, it might be crowded with winter potatoes, and that's not a good thing.
Only when they're out.
Okay.
Wow, it's so fun hearing these. I can't help but feeling that if these are gone now, it would be kind of sad to lose these words. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, well, I don't think they're lost, but we'll tell you in another year.
So in the later years of the project, the Regional English Project so far, some of the ones we were talking about just now came from ethnic groups, from farming talk. Are there new drivers of new regional words now? Food, I imagine, will always be, but any others?
Well, I'm sure that with the increasing numbers of Hispanic speakers, we will adopt new words that weren't part of our vocabulary before. Many of the other ethnic terms that still remain do reflect things like Norwegian heritage, mm-hmm. with words like ish and ishi rather than ik and icky, and ufta, which is, of course, very Wisconsin and Minnesota. And card games are very reflective of our German heritage. Sheep's head, Schafskopf, Schmier, all of them very distinctive of this part of the country.
And you're looking at the country as a whole, right? So it's not just Wisconsin. And what about some of our neighbors? Do you recall any of the interesting words from, say, Illinois or Minnesota?
Well, in the early survey, we did do the whole country. Now we're concentrating only on Wisconsin because we hope to find out whether this online survey is workable in the whole country. But Minnesota has lots of interesting words, like the name for what we would call a rubber band. It's a rubber binder in Minnesota. And lots of other Norwegian food words are common there.
Well, we were just talking. I was talking to our news guy, Noah Ovchinsky, both of us from Michigan, and we were talking about Coney dogs. And I was in a hot dog place in Madison a while back, and they had Coney sauce. And
Coney
I asked the guy at the counter, "Are you from Michigan?" "No, but the owner is." So it's one of those things. These are words that when somebody says them, a lot of the time, you know where they're from. So if you run into somebody talking about bubblers elsewhere in the country, good chance they're from Wisconsin.
Yes, indeed. But on the other hand, if you go to O'Hare and ask somebody, where's the nearest bubbler? They're not likely to understand you.
And I was wondering if you could give people the website once more for people who want to take the survey before we run out of time.
Yes, www.dare.wisc.edu. Look for the button on the left-hand side.
Joan, thank you so much for joining us today.
It's my pleasure.
That was Joan Houston Hall, Chief Editor of the Dictionary of American Regional English, Senior Scientist of English at the University of Wisconsin-Madison.